It is important that we look at this with a very clear understanding of contextualization. Because when people step into the middle of your story, they misdiagnose who you are. And they make false assumptions based on brief statements. We're living in an age now where people will take a snippet of a sermon and write an argument against a snippet. A phrase, one statement you put out, and they say they know you by a phrase, as if you could be reduced to a sentence. See, the quickest way to get into heresy is to take a text out of context. Now, I'm all for technology, but sometimes when people text me, I have to pick up the phone and call them, because sometimes you meant it in one way, but I read it in another way. And before I respond, I read it. I just want to be sure. Do you really mean for me to go off like I'm getting ready to go off? You know, I just want to be sure. Let's set some rules straight, because I might have read it in the wrong tone. And most of the time I was wrong. Because it is difficult to deliver sensitive information in a text. Because a text does not give you context. So as we read this brief statement, these four verses of scripture in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 1, I'm not sure that this text of a scripture gives us context. Jesus wasn't born in a wilderness. Neither did he grow up in a wilderness, okay? Nor was he baptized in a wilderness. And yet he finds himself in the wilderness. I have been in the same spot that Jesus was in. I had the privilege years ago of going to Jerusalem, and not only going to Jerusalem, which is amazing, but going down to the Jordan and across the Jordan River into the country of Jordan. And when you cross the Jordan River, you are standing in what is now currently called Jordan. And you're on your way to Amman, but you have to go through the wilderness to get there. And little did I know that the same wilderness I was standing in is the wilderness in which Jesus was tempted. Is also the place where Elijah comes, having crossed the Jordan, to be caught up in the chariot of fire. So the history of the text goes archaeologically deep into the soil of the same space. A lot of things happen in the same geographical location. So in the same place that God sends a chariot down from heaven to evacuate Elijah out of the human capacities of this mundane ritualistic world, it is in that same spot where he allows the Spirit to carry Jesus to be tempted. Have you ever had a spot that provoked many different memories? A house you used to live in, and you can remember good times and bad times. A person you grew up with, and you remember something nice, and you remember something. Spaces are complicated, and the Spirit has brought him to this place. But I don't want to take the text out of context. It is important that we understand that Jesus has dropped off the scene for at least 18 years. We know nothing. And it is funny to me, because the Bible gives us the highlights of the life of Jesus and not the nothing moments of his life. And the hardest parts of walking with God are through the days of nothingness. They're neither hot nor cold. They're neither good nor bad. It's just too hard. I just woke up. I just made it through another day. What you doing? Nothing. You know, what you doing? Just stuff I gotta do. Can I stay with God through days of nothingness? 18 years that are obscure from us, where Jesus is just a no-name carpenter's son moving about, growing up from 12 to 30 years old in total obscurity. He doesn't pick up again until this new, highly successful and accomplished disruptive thinking John. I call him a disruptor because he broke all of his father's rules and won doing it. He didn't dress like a priest. He didn't eat like a priest. He didn't function in the synagogue. He was in the wilderness eating wild locusts and honey and dressed in camel's hair. Don't be scared to be different. Different does not disannul greatness. In fact, it actually confirms greatness. Nobody writes books about ordinary. Go to the library, you won't see any books written about people who weren't disruptive or in some way extraordinary. And you have to understand that and realize that Jesus spends 18 years that we know nothing about. And then at 30 years old, he's in the crowd, not on the stage. He's in the crowd, not on the program. He's in the back row of the crowd coming to hear his cousin John. And he comes down to the Jordan, and all the eyes are on John, and none of them are on Jesus. Because John the Baptist was the new hot thing. And you know how we love the new hot thing. I tell young preachers, when you start a church, you're only new once. You're only new once, so while you're new, you might as well rock it. Rock it, go all the way with it, because as soon as people get used to you, they start taking you for granted. Oh, I won't go this week. I'll go next week. I'll check it out later. I'll check it out online. If I get to it, I'll come to it. That's what happens in any relationship. Familiarity breeds contempt. If you want to stay fresh, stay back. Because if you overexpose yourself, no matter how good you are at what you do, people get used to you. You can sing the paint off the wall, but if you sing all the time, they get used to your riffs and runs, and the person they shouted about today, they ignore tomorrow. You can be the greatest wife in the world and celebrate it for the first few years, but after a while, they get used to it, and they want to know, are there any new tricks? So save some. Don't spend everything on the first week. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Don't spend everything in the first week. Don't tell everything in the first week, because you got to keep it fresh. You got to update. You got to remain interesting. You got to keep reading. You got to keep developing yourself, because once people get used to you, they walk past you. They ignore you. They walk past Jesus to get to John, because John was the new thing. And he was bad, and he was disruptive, and he was dressed different, and he was, you know, and they was coming to hear him and to check him out. And while John is baptizing in the Jordan, nobody is talking about Jesus. You better go make some shoes somewhere, or make a table, a chair somewhere, push past Jesus trying to get to John. Often we push past the greater trying to get to the lesser. Because it takes time to reveal greatness. And when time has not exposed who you really are, people shove you to the side trying to get to something that is less than what's down inside of you. And you gotta be okay with it, because that's a test too. Obscurity is a test too. Being ignored is a test too. Being treated as ordinary is a test too. To make sure that your ego is low enough that when God exalts you, you won't start worshiping yourself. He'll let people push past you and say, how you like me now? Because he doesn't want you to be ego driven. He wants you to be spirit led. And you can't be spirit led and ego driven. So God allows people to walk past you. Can you imagine walking past the water walking Jesus? Can you imagine walking past the dead raising Jesus? Can you imagine walking past the Jesus who turned water into wine? Can you imagine who you might have walked past this morning? And Jesus does not stop them from walking past him. He doesn't whip out his business cards. He doesn't start doing sideshow miracles to get on their itinerary. I like him because he got class. There's a difference between education and class. There's a difference between money and class. There's a difference between a great vocabulary and class. I'm not sure you can teach class. Jesus, class makes you handle rejection. Class makes you handle not being celebrated. Class won't let you just do anything to get on the itinerary because you think too much of yourself to lower yourself down, to make yourself a tramp for somebody just so you can get their attention. Class will make you wait. Class will make you hug a pillow. Class will make you roll over by yourself. Class to make you hold your head up when other people are ignoring you. Class to make you sit back and let them take somebody lesser to the date. Class! Jesus had absolute class. Oh my God, I think I'm still on the road. I feel like preaching up in here. If y'all mess with me this morning, it's gonna be church up in this place. I feel something flowing up in this place right now. I wanna celebrate all the people who have kept their class. It wasn't that you weren't lonely, but you kept your class. It wasn't that you weren't qualified, but you kept your class. It wasn't that God wasn't gonna use you in a mighty way, but you held on to your integrity. Job lost everything, but he held on to his integrity. Without your integrity, you got nothing. That your integrity is determined by what you won't do. There are some things that I'm just not gonna do. I'm just not gonna do that. I'm just not gonna do that. If I go broke, I'm not gonna do that. If I have to sell the car, I'm not gonna do that. If I have to sell the shoes, I'm not gonna do it. I'm just not gonna do it. Why? Because I think too much of myself. You don't know me, but he does. And all of a sudden, John the Baptist looks up with his feet standing in the Jordan River, in the same Jordan River that Joshua's feet had stood in. The same Jordan that went hither and thither, and the children of Israel had walked across on dry ground. John is standing in that same Jordan, the same Jordan where they took out the 12 smooth stones, where the feet of the priest stood firm. John is now standing in that same Jordan, only instead of him pulling out a rock, he's about to reveal the rock of ages, the rock in a weary land, the rock in a sure place. I'm talking about Jesus. Everybody's looking at John, but John looks up and he sees Jesus. And how you manage greatness has a lot to do with how you end up. A lot of people will not shine a light on anybody who might make them look less. Let me hear it. So John says, behold. Don't keep looking at me. Behold. There's something greater than me. Behold the one you walk past. Behold the one you overlook. Behold the one you ignored. He is the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. And the Bible says the crowd parts. Jesus goes from obscurity to notoriety in a step. You think it's going to take years? You're just going to step into what God has. Just. The step's already been ordered. Don't worry about the stage. Pray for the step. If you make this step, the stage will take care of itself. Too many people are in love with the stage and not the steps. So they get on the stage and can't stay on it because they don't take the steps to qualify them for the stage. Don't pray for the stage, pray for the step. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I feel something in this place. I feel something in this place. Something's about to break loose in this place.